The idea of submission means, not my will, but thine be done. It means that God would like to direct you in your life, standing outside of time. He sees every path that you have ahead of you. He says, if you would listen to me, you may go this way and that way and so on, and at the end, you'll be exactly where I want you to be. You'll be exactly where you ought to be. You'll be exactly where it will be of most benefit eternally for you to be. But if in the midst of this, you say, no, I rebel, I will do what I want, we end up in a bad place. Now, after repentance, we can climb painfully back onto the proper path. But how much better to submit to the will of God? If you've walked with a child who is being rebellious and you're trying to hold on because there's danger about, and always the danger of the child being, you know, lost in a crowd or run into the street, and how wearying it is for the child not to even recognize what danger they're in. And you're holding on to that hand, and they're yanking and they're pulling and they're rebelling with everything, you know. Maybe crying, maybe giving you fits. If they knew what was good for them, they would submit to the wise parent's will. So must we. In James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me just mention about resisting the devil. We are to flee temptation, but we are to resist the devil. Resisting the devil is not the same thing as an alcoholic stocking his liquor locker with alcohol just to see if he can resist it. Rather, resisting the devil is where the devil whispers to you, you ought to do that. And he's trying to make you think that that was your idea. I don't believe that, you know, the devil appears to people, certainly not in some horrible form, and says, do this terrible thing. You say, no, I'm not sure why that's wrong, but I'm not going to do it. You look evil. So he whispers it from behind. And he says in your own voice, you know what you could do? You know what would be fun? You know what would be beneficial? And what we have to do is to be so schooled in the Word of God, the will of God, that we say, wait a minute, where did that thought come from? And then, like Jesus, say, that's the devil. Go away. He's a creature of the darkness. And if you turn and shine the light on him, he says, well, now the game's up. Now you know it's me. And he flees from you. This is how we resist the devil. Now, at the heart of this, the key to this is knowing the will of God. If we're going to submit to the will of God, I think it's necessarily true. We need to know the will of God. That's why reading the Bible, reading the Word of God, where God reveals His will to us, is so vitally important. Submission to the will of God is part of your Christian self-denial. Listen to Christ who says, you people are saved, but I'd like for you to be disciples. But here's the problem, he says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You see what he's saying? In any love relationship, including the love of yourself, you put that ahead of him, Satan will use that to lead you astray. It has to be God first. It is your complete agreement to the will of God in all things, and especially in difficult times. Submission is when you have no competing will of your own. You may express your desire, as Christ did, but we must always end with that concept, if not the words, not my will, but not my will, but thine be done. Isaiah 57:15, the transcendent God speaks, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is also of a contrite and humble spirit, that lowly spirit, you see. He says, I'm dwelling with you. Now, you say, you mean I have to crumble down before him? If you know what's good for you, if you understand the reality of things, he said, why would he want humbled, old, crumbled down people? Finish the verse. He says, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He says, the only way for your heart to be healed is for you to be humbled before me. The only way up is down. The only way to true meaning in your life is giving up trying to be the one who determines that meaning. Mark 3:35. We are to be humble and contrite, but not broken in our spirit and heart. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. You say, if I hate all those people, you know, I love them less than I do Christ, then I've lost them all. He says, no, you've gained me as that close relation. 1 John 2:17. Why would you want to love the world? The world passeth away, and the lust, the desire thereof. But he that doth the will of God abideth forever. You see, the way up is down in selfishness. The way to truth is humbled and contriteness. Well, I'd like to give you an encouragement to godly submission for each hour of the day. That's my sneaky way of saying I got 12 points. 1 o'clock. You don't have to do this at 1 o'clock. I'm just dividing it up here. Prepare your mind to put God's will to the test. You say, that sounds rebellious. No, this is saying, that's what you say I ought to do? I'm going to try that. That's what he says in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. It's not just drift along on your raft, floating down the river on the current of the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because then you can prove You can put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's expressed his will in his word. He says, take me up on it. Put it to the test. Try it. Do it. You know, we sometimes defeat ourselves ahead of time. He says, do that. I don't think I could do that. He says, give this up. I don't think I could give that up. He says, try it. You'll like it. 2:00. Perform the revealed will of God. Just get busy and do it. What's the Nike thing? Just do it, right? Just do it. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Perform. He says do it, just do it. 3:00. Engage yourself fully in serving God. Don't dabble at it. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Put your hand to the plow and don't turn back. Acts 13:36. For David, and notice the characteristic here, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. The King James margin says, or after he had in his own age served the will of God, fell on sleep, and he was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. What a tremendous statement of life that he served his own age, his own generation, by the will of God. That was his life. This is how God inspired the writer to describe David. David had a lot of down time, a lot of sin. But on the whole, he served in that particular time period doing the will of God. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers. It's not like just doing it so that people will notice, you see. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants, this is that word slaves, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Submission? Consider yourself a slave of Christ. What can the slave refuse to do? Nothing. He's a slave. So, here, as servants, slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, not just doing it enough where people will notice, and then being your own person. 4:00. Pray for the saints. Romans 8:27. He that searcheth the hearts, God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because, or that, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, praying for the saints is part of the will of God. So, God who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is now helping you make intercession for the saints. You will not understand submission to God until you spend time praying for the saints and for others, but for the saints. Colossians 4:12. Paul's giving the example of Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, came from their church, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring. The King James margin says this is the laboring that means striving, fighting fervently for you in prayers. This is the guy who agonized in prayer over these people. To what end? What was he praying for? That you may stand perfect and complete or filled in all the will of God. He didn't want them losing out. Pray for these people, the saints, that they don't lose out, that they understand God's will is perfect. It's the best way for their life. 5 o'clock. Be willing to give of yourself. Here is our money connection. Be willing to give of yourself, what you have, what you can do. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And this they did, talking about the Macedonian church, not as we hoped, not as we even dared to hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave their very self to God and then to the ministers of God. And they said to them, please, please, we're a poor people, but we can still give to this great offering. He says they didn't hold back their money because they had given themselves. See? 6 o'clock. Accept the call of God for your life. Not every call of God is for full-time service. God calls us to serve in various gifts, with various gifts and in various capacities. One I like is mentioned in 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about all these gifts, is helps. The gift of helps. Isn't that a great one? This is the person who says, let me help. Let me help. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. What did he do? He submitted to that. And Sosthenes, our brother. 7 o'clock. Participate in separation from this present world. Don't think, you know, I was thinking about the word sophisticated. To be a sophisticated person. What does that mean? It means part of the world. It actually isn't a good word at all for the Christian. Sophisticated is you've got the worldly attitude about things. Participate in separation from this present world. Galatians 1:4. Christ, who gave himself for our sins, to do what? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. The word present here means the existing at this time. The word evil is the particular Greek word that means wicked. And the word world is the word that means age. And this, he says, was according to the will of God and our Father. God wanted something to happen that would allow you to be delivered from this present wicked age. And so we can take advantage of that, participate in that. 8 o'clock. Let your testimony silence God's critics. I'm not sure how he got on the subject, but Jeb this morning after the service was talking about people who say, the church is full of hypocrites. And he said, I've told them, you have a wrong idea of what hypocrite means. A hypocrite is one who's pretending to be something they're not really. He says, now, a person, you know, a church member who falls isn't somebody who is pretending he didn't. And he says, and besides that, you have a wrong view of what a church is all about. The church isn't a collection of people who think they're perfect. Sort of far from that. He says, we're like an AA meeting. We're like a hospital. We're here for the healing. Everybody every one of us comes into the church building knowing that we have failed God to some degree. And we'd like to do better. No, we're not perfect, but we're trying to do better. That's not hypocrisy. So let your testimony silence God's critics. 1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of God that we are to submit to, that with well-doing, doing what God says, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. All hypocrites in the church. Foolish men. They don't understand what they're talking about. You can put it to silence. There's a great reward in life when somebody says, well, I've known some people, church people, that you know really turned me off. But you know what? I like you. You seem real. 9 o'clock. Stay free of immorality. We live in such a day where it's just at every hand. Every magazine uses this stuff to sell their wares. If you have a computer, it's all accessible to you, every sordid detail of immorality. It's all right there. Stay free from it. You say, is that the will of God? Absolutely. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your becoming holy, that you should abstain from fornication. You remember that fornication is immorality, even of the mind. 1 Peter 4:2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Don't be sucked in by the world that says this is really living. Pastor Heller, that was our pastor as we were growing up, had an illustration he brought out every so often. It was so strong I never forgot that he said it the first time. Talking about a fellow that died, and he had some sort of a hot rod, and he got it fixed with somebody. So they embalmed him and set him behind the wheel of this hot rod. They had a big bulldozer thing, scoop out, big thing, and they lowered the hot rod with him behind the wheel down into the grave. And he had some friends standing around. They looked at each other and nudged each other and said, man, that's living. Really? No, that's not living. 10 o'clock. Recognize that your future is in the hands of God. You say, why would I submit my will to his? Because your future actually isn't in your own hands. You cannot see what's around the corner. But he can. He's wiser than you. Actually, he's kinder than you. He wants a very good end for you. Therefore, he says, do this and don't do that. Romans 1:10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Romans 15:32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Has to be the will of God. 11 o'clock, give thanks for everything. Not just the fun things. Not just the sweet things. Not just these beautiful sunset we were watching as we were coming in. My wife said, that's so pretty, it looks like some artist invented it. like, oh, that can't be real. Well, where do you think they got their inspiration? A great creative artist himself. Give thanks for everything, even the dark things, even the hard things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. But I don't feel like it. Well, you do it anyway. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what happens when you give thanks for something that you don't particularly like? It makes your mind retrofit itself to say, well, if God did this, there must be a reason for it. Well, thank you, God, for taking me in a direction I didn't see. Thank you for putting me in a situation where I can grow, where I can learn endurance. You can't learn endurance by doing happy stuff. Noon or midnight, depending on your sleep cycle. Submit to suffering as a Christian. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this persecution. Now they're making me suffer for it. He says that's so much better if God allows it. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I want to thank you, God, for making this world, for making us. Brother Don and his wife were here this morning, and I said, glad to see you able to make it. He said, it's really tough. Today wasn't so bad. I had actually made my comment about standing up, if you're capable, you know, for them, to let them know that we're not demanding that. At the end, the last song, he looked at his wife and he said, I'm going to get up. It took him three tries to get up standing. I said to him, it occurs to me what a gift God has given. At that very moment, when the two cells have come together and you became a living person, a living being, God gave you a gift of life that will last forever. What a gift. Life is so precious. It can be hard. It can be difficult, especially in this life. But what a precious gift. So he's the faithful creator. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, in doing as he says. Well, 12 encouragements to submit to God. In all of this, we are to be the child. Christ says, let them come to me. Whoever doesn't come to me as a little child doesn't make it, you see. And that little child says, I don't know the way. We were chuckling over William's dilemma. Mommy, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. He just turned what, four? Yeah, just turned 4 years old. Doesn't have his college planned yet, you know. She said something like that, you know, I don't think you need to worry about that yet. He went, oh, I've got so much to do, you know. Be the child that says, I don't know. But I know you know, and I know you care, and I know you know what's around the corner. So I need to be doing now what you say. I'm not so wise, God, that I can tell you what to do. But you have all wisdom. I submit to you to do your will. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening recognizing that pride in ridiculous arrogance thinks that we can make our way and it would be better for us than your way. Now, even to say it like that, we recognize it can't be true. We are stuck going through time, and we can barely see a few seconds or minutes into the future, and that can surprise us. I ask that you might so work that we recognize we often don't know what is good or bad in our life, and therefore we'll let you choose. We will give thanks in all things, and we will suffer as you allowed in our life, as Job did, that you might be honored. We will still worship you. We will still say you are worthy to be served. Now I ask, Father, that you might help us with all humility and realization of the truth to dedicate ourselves tonight to submission to your will. Oh, Father, give us a hunger for your word that lets us know clearly what it is we ought to do and what is your kind, just, wise, good will. And then, Father, let's together join hands and perform that which is good to the doing of your good will, of well-doing. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, there is that in me that wants to rebel, that thinks I can't do it God's way. That won't work. But I realize that that's foolishness. And in fact, that's the devil whispering to me, shalt thou surely die? And I'd like tonight to stop the rebellion, to stop the arrogant rebuttal, and say, dear God, I submit myself to you. If that's your prayer tonight, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Let me pray with you about that. Yes, amen. Thank you. Others, quickly before we pray. Anyone else? Yes, amen. So, Father, we come in all humility, the childlikeness that recognizes we don't really know all the big issues of what's going on. We see what we see, but we have no ultimate, essential understanding of what's causing it all. But we don't need to, because we know you. We know that you are good. We know that you are wise. We know that you are just. And therefore, by doing what you've told us to do, by adventuring into the areas that you told us to go, we will be okay. We would like to be okay. We would like at the end to say, I have followed you. We would like to hear Jesus Christ say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we don't want to be the rebels, ignorantly inventing our own way. We want to submit. We thank you for each one that raised a hand. We pray, Father, that you might continue to work in our hearts. We recognize it's all about you and us following your lead. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.